Father God, as we prepare to study your word, I just ask that you open up the scriptures to us, Lord. Speak to our heart. Help us to see our call. Help us to see that we are overcomers in you. Help us to see the call of the intercessor, Lord God. Drive it home. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. So last time we discussed the son of perdition and lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Last time we discussed what's being released in this hour. And I shared with you a vision that I'd had that we will either be consumed by the son of perdition or the lion of Judah. It's one or the other. There's no in-between. And we live in the season that we're in right now. And I know Mom shared on the line last night about the times we're in and how serious they are. How important it is that we continue to press through. How important it is that we intercede on behalf of the church. That we intercede on behalf of the nation. And today, as I was going over the lesson, and I was reading Joel chapter 2, the scriptures really stood out, and I want to share that with you today and share some things that the Lord showed me last week. Joel 2:12. I'll start there. I'll read through, and then we'll talk. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. So the scripture that really stuck out, I mean, this was a very powerful scripture. I know we've talked about this before, but really gripped me was let the priests, verse 17, the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. We are often asked, not by intercessors, but we are often asked why we pray for this nation, why we pray for the church, why we pray for mercy, why we pray, spare thy people. Why do you do what you do? And, you know, 20 years ago, that answer would have been, because that's what we do. But today, when we see the changes that our intercessions have brought forth in this nation, We can have answers that are very specific, answers that can target the issue that we're facing, answers that help people get on board. What we've seen taking place over our nation and what we see taking place in the church today, and we have discussed this, we discussed this not too long ago, the church is asleep, and God is trying to awaken the church because the responsibility of the church is to pray. I know people think, well, we need to have a service, we need to teach, we should have our Sunday school, we should have our Bible studies, we should do all of this. And that's the original mindset, of course. Putting that into practice isn't always, we're not always seeing that. But the church is called to pray. That's our purpose. And in this hour, we are in the season of the intercessor. The season of the intercessor. There should not be a single office occupied within the structure of the church, so pastor, evangelist, prophet, teachers, all of these positions should be held by people that are also intercessors. Why is that? Because intercessors are in tune with the heart of God. Intercessors will go and stand between the porch and the altar, and they will weep before God. They also will stand there and they will hear the heart of God on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the body that they're shepherding, on behalf of their city, on behalf of their state. An intercessor will wait before the Lord to hear God's heart on an issue. We can come forward and we can do a lot of research and we can spew out a lot of facts. It's very easy to do. But to stop and wait on the Lord and hear what His heart is for the matter is an entirely different story. And it's something that few people can do in this day and time. In this microwave society, in this social media driven society, people won't watch a video longer than 5 minutes, much less wait upon the Lord and sit quiet for 5 minutes. The enemy knows what he's done. He knows what he's done. He knows why he shortened our attention span. He knows, because he understands that if we were to get engaged and become the army of God, be the house of prayer that we have been created to be, we would destroy him. If we prayed with the Spirit of the Lord called us to pray, and not what our head deemed right, we would be far more effective as intercessors. And the enemy knows that. That's why distractions come in. That's why having technology all around us, it's a distraction. It's a consistent distraction. We have to fight against the distractions. And the enemy knows the more he can distract us, the more he can pull us away from our time with God, the less our impact will be in the Spirit. And we end up with what? Watered down Christians, watered down intercessors. People that aren't even intercessors, they just pray. In the body of Christ today, in the church, let's just focus on the church for a minute. As I said, the church is asleep. It's in a medically induced slumber. outside forces have come in and put her to sleep. For those that aren't asleep, those that are functioning, we have those that are functioning in pride. They have to always be right. We have those that are functioning with an unwillingness to partner with others in our effort. You know, one thing about the gatherings that I love so much is that we have people come from all over the world. We have people that are represented by a variety of ministries. I mean, and they come. You know, some want to promote their ministry, but many check their ministry at the door because they're not here to promote themselves. They're here to pray for the nation. And the Lord has spoken to them to come and pray with this ministry for that week. Last week I had a vision. I had a vision of the church, and not what's today, but what the Lord wants for the church. And I saw a body. Christ was the head, and the body was liquid gold. And within the body were various ministries, various churches, various even independent people. You know, but in that body, they were all swirling around like liquid gold. And when they were needed, they were called upon, they went to the hand or the foot or, you know, whatever the case may be. They were brought to the surface, they were utilized. And when their work was done, they were brought back into the body. And it was with such purpose and such unity within the body, there wasn't a warring. Why? Because Christ was the head. So he was orchestrating how everything functioned, how everyone flowed within the body. That's the divine plan, is to have a body of Christ 100% submitted to the head. Christ is the head. Paul said what? Christ is the head. We are to put on Christ. And that put on is allowing him to transform us. That means to set our old self aside and put on Christ. That causes us to submit to the head. Doesn't cause us to submit to the head. It requires us to submit to the head. And one of the things that I see taking place right now in the church is nobody wants to submit to the head. Everybody wants to be right. Even if they're wrong, they're determined to prove that they're right. We don't have focus. We don't have purpose. We're not even submitting to the Word of God in 1 Timothy. And he says to pray for your leaders. We're not even submitting to the Word of God in praying for our leaders. Paul wrote that to Timothy. When men like Nero were in power, Christians were being thrown to the lions. Children were being ripped apart like gladiators for sport. And Paul said to pray for your leaders that it may go well with you. Regardless of our personal opinion of the people that are in leaders, I've got a leader in my state who is openly gay. And he is determined to take this state you thought we were liberal before. He wants to put Planned Parenthood
phone number on every single student ID. From junior high up, it's going to be printed on those IDs. So that if you need their services, which we've learned there's only one in the country that offers actual Planned Parenthood, out of all of them in the country, only one offers prenatal care. The rest help you prevent or end your pregnancy. And that's what he wants to put on our school IDs here in the state. That's just for starters. In the poor school districts, our kids are being indoctrinated into the LGBTQ community. They're being indoctrinated by it. My Two Daddies, My Two Mommies. I mean, these are books being read to four-year-olds to normalize it. Less than 5% of the population belong in that category, the LGBTQ category. Less than 5%. Yet he is running our state as though it dominates. That's darkness. That's the darkness we're trying to overcome. That's the darkness that we as intercessors have been called to overcome. Those are the rulers that we've been called to pray for, that God would change their hearts. That's the darkness that we have today. So if Paul says, I want you to pray for your leaders, and those leaders are throwing children into the lion's den, having gladiators tear people in two who are Christians, and Paul says, pray for your leaders that it may go well with you, why in the world would we not believe that God would want us to pray for this leader? Well, I'm just going to wait until the next one comes in. Maybe he'll be a Christian. No. Pray that God will impact his life. Pray that God will change his heart. Pray that he'll get saved. I know he's got darkness, and I understand that. But pray that God will impact him. That God will begin to speak to him. When Pilate had Jesus' life in his hands, what did his wife do? Don't get involved with this. I was tormented all night in dreams. The Lord spoke to his wife. God spoke to his wife to deal with him over what was taking place. Why is that? Well, it was God's plan to send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. So it was part of his plan for Jesus to die for us. So why is that in there? Because God is trying to say, I actually will speak to the heathen. I will. That's why this story is in the Bible. That's why that account, that small little, those few verses, is in the Bible. Because he's saying to us, pray. Pray for these leaders. Pray for their spouses. Pray that I'll impact their lives. Pray that I'll speak to them. Because even those that are not professing Christians, I actually will speak to their lives. I will impact them. If you'll pray. People are so busy condemning the leaders that we have in place today. I mean, we all know that. We all know what they're saying about Trump. God put that man there. And we know that. Christians are speaking hateful words about him. Writers in Hollywood are writing scripts on how to assassinate a president. On how to assassinate him specifically. Never before in history have we had so much hatred go out from all forces against a president who is only trying to save the unborn, eradicate human trafficking, and bring this nation back to financial stability. Oh, well, that's directly opposed to the elite's agenda. So we know why. But why is it that church pastors are speaking against our president? We expect it from the world. Why is it that church pastors are speaking against our president? Why is it that Christians are buying into this? Because we lost sight of our purpose. My house shall be called an house of prayer. The priest shall stand between the porch and the altar. What is the porch and the altar? Spoken of in Joel 2. The porch and the altar. That's where the glory of the Lord came. And that's where the people stood. The porch is Solomon's porch. That's where the people congregated. The altar is where the sacrifices are made. The priest is supposed to be there, the intercessor. We've lost sight of our purpose in God. We lost sight that we aren't just supposed to be a mouthpiece for God. We are not just supposed to read and absorb his word. We're not just supposed to feed and care for those in need. We're not just supposed to love our neighbor, but we are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. And how do we do that? How do we demonstrate that? By spending time with him. How do we spend time with him? It's not sitting in a pew. It is our knees before him, praying. We are all called to be priests. Jesus was our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. While he walked this earth, he was our high priest. When he went to heaven, he is our high priest right now, pleading with the Father on our behalf, interceding for us day in and day out, that we might fulfill the Creator's plans and purposes for our lives. Praying for us. We are to be like Christ. Paul says it over and over and over again. We are called to be Christ-like. Like him. Extending his outstretched hands into this earth. What did Christ do? He was and is our intercessor. The purpose of the priest is to be the intercessor. We must stand between the people and between the throne room of God, and we must intercede that it may go well with us. We must intercede that God will hear our cries and heal our land. People say, well, you know, the end time's coming. Why not just let it happen? Because if he comes right here, right now, do you know how many people are going to hell that don't have to go to hell? If we will pray, if we will intercede, he will intervene. He will heal our land. The day of the Lord certainly is coming. It certainly is. But until that trumpet sounds and he appears in the heavens, We are called to be on our faces hearing His heart. His heart for the nation. His heart for the church. His heart for our families. Because if we hear His heart, if we're on our faces first and foremost, we are not praying our will. We are praying His because we've humbled ourselves before Him. If we are praying His will to be done, it paves the path for salvation. It paves the path for abortion to be overturned. I consider them films unplanned. And I think about our president's support of that film to expose what's really taking place in the pro-choice movement. People think it's about choice, but the number one thing, the number one reason women give for going through with an abortion is that they did not have a choice. They were pressured by the medical professionals, educators, family. Why would we not stand between the porch and the altar and weep before God on an issue so tragic? The blood-soaked earth is crying out for the people of God to come back to their purpose. Day in and day out. It's crying. Do we heed that cry? Do we weep before Him? Are we fulfilling our responsibility as the priest? Are we seeking His face on behalf of the people? The priest, that was his only responsibility, is to be a vessel. To pray for the people. They didn't always fulfill that responsibility. Samuel was raised by a priest who had sin rampant in his family. But he became a priest who refused to follow in his footsteps. He sought the Lord in all things on behalf of the people. In preparation for the day of the Lord, in preparation for what will happen between now and then. I mean, I think we all can be in agreement that we are in the last days. Even people who think it's years, I mean, you know, centuries down the road, at least can agree upon the fact that since the Lord came, walked this earth, and died, rose again, and the Holy Spirit was released, boom, last days began. Even they can agree that we are in the last days. But our responsibility, our responsibility in
in preparation as things progress is to be the high priest, to pray, to return to being that house of prayer that we were created to be, to allow him to enter into our lives and turn over the tables of everything that is not ordained by God in our lives and create in us a house of prayer. We are the house of prayer. We are. And we don't realize we have tables set up for the money changers inside of us. And God is trying to bring us to a point where we will give him free rein to turn those tables over. When he came back into the city, as he was approaching, he saw the fig tree, he reached out, and he said, "I hunger." But as I read that, the Lord said he was hungering for his people. His cry was a hunger for relationship with his people. And that relationship can only be achieved through prayer. It can only be achieved through prayer, through time spent with him, by allowing him to come in and turn over the tables in our lives. We make room for him to build his house within us. I'm not just talking about the church structure, what we will be if we allow him to be the head and we are the body, what we will be, what will happen if we allow him to fill us up as individuals, create within us a house of prayer as individuals. We will truly unify in a godly unity in Christ with him as the head. But as long as we have tables set up within us, pride, self-will, self-consciousness, stuff, love of the world, lust, as long as we have tables set up within our lives, there isn't room for him. But if we give him free rein to come in and turn those tables over and extract that garbage from our lives, he can come in and fill us up and we can become the high priest he created us to become. It doesn't matter if we're a preacher, if we're a prophet, if we're a teacher. It doesn't matter what our gifting is. It doesn't matter what our calling is. Every single person in the body of Christ is called to be an intercessor. And to function as that intercessor is the highest call. It will enable us to be the preacher we've been called to be, to be the pastor we've been called to be the teacher we've been called to be the prophet we've been called to be. Because if we have the intimacy with God that prayer brings, we will not be functioning in our own selves when we minister. He will be flowing through us. People say, "Oh, he's so anointed." Is he really? Or does he put on a good show? Is he really? Or is he just good in theater? Do you feel the Spirit burn within you? Because if the Spirit burns within you, when someone is speaking the Word of God into your life, it's burning away the tables of the money changers.
If someone speaks into your life and it brings correction, they're burning away the tables of the money changers, clearing a path for the Spirit of God to take root. And that is how we become the body of Christ we've been created to be. That's how we function and flow with a depth of unity. People say, well, you know, I'll just spend time with him. I'll spend time in the Word. And as I do that, you know, because the correction thing, I really struggle with that. As I do that, he'll get rid of the rest. We have to be a willing vessel for his work. When I bought my house almost 20 years ago now, the house I was renting, the owner was selling her house. And it wasn't really big enough for our family, but I didn't want to have to move again. And anyway, so I was thinking about buying the house. But as I thought about it, I realized it wasn't going to really work for my family. But I was on a timeline. I was on a deadline. I had to buy a house and get moved in. And so I bought my house, and I got moved in. And there was work to be done on my house, but I had to do that work while I lived in the house, while me and my children lived in the house. And it was very difficult. It takes a long time to work around the bodies running around your house. When Tiffany and Bobby got married, and they actually lived with me for a year to save up their money in order to buy a house instead of renting. And so they saved up their money to buy a house. So when they bought the house, they knew that at the very least the flooring needed to be replaced and it needed to be painted and stuff on the inside. So her dad was here, really, really handy, and he was going to help them get the work done and stuff. And they were going through the process. Should we go ahead and move in and then do the work, or should we do the work beforehand? And my answer immediately was, if you can live here a little bit longer, if you could tolerate it, obviously they could, they'd already been here a year, I suggest you do the work before you move in, because you're working around furniture, you're working around your lives, you're working around all of these other things while you're trying to put new floor in, and it's such a difficult process. It's a frustrating process. And it feels like it takes longer. Why? Because you're also trying to be there. You're not ready. You can't just empty the house out. So if we go to the Lord and we say, let's spend time in the Word, let's spend time in prayer, but we're not willing to open ourselves up and allow him to clear out the money changers, to clear out the tables and the chairs and all the animals that are residing within our lives, if we're not willing to allow him to do that, we think, well, I'll just pack up. I'll become a clutter bug, right? I'll just pack up all this stuff inside of me, and eventually it'll shove those animals right out. There just won't be room. It doesn't work that way. If we will allow him, expose ourselves to him and allow him to clean out the temple and put in place of the money changers, put in place of those animals and the chairs and the people that are not really functioning in accordance with the Spirit of God. The process will have a purity that runs through it. It may feel like a greater disruption, but there's a purity that will run through what he puts in its place, because it won't be contaminated by the money changers, by the little animals scurrying around. It's a clean, open slate.
where he can create a house of prayer, where we say, here I am. You have access to everything in my life. Reveal it, clean it, and put in its place you. Reveal it, clean it. Chase out the things that are not of you, oh God. Because it's not my will, it's yours. When you look at me and you say, I hunger, do I fill your need, Lord God? Am I functioning as a vessel, as a high priest, so that your spirit flows right through me, unhindered, unrestricted? Are the things that in me, the things that are planted in me, things that have been ordered and ordained by you, can I flow and function as an effective member of the body of Christ no matter where I'm at? Because you are the head, and you will call me into action when you desire to. Have I availed myself to be the priest standing between the porch and the altar? Willing to be the vessel you created me to be. Father, how we long to avail ourselves to the call of the priesthood, to really be those who live a life, an overcoming life through prayer, one who lives their life overcoming through prayer, that's so because of their great dependence upon you. Because of their submission to you as the head. Because of their willingness to be the intermediary, to be the one who stands in the gap between the sinner and the holy God that we serve. The one who lives a life as an overcomer through prayer. Submits all that they have, all that they are, to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to clean them out and impart his spirit within. We become transparent vessels for your spirit to flow. Because it's just not about us. It's just not about us while we're here. It's about you. Your will, your ways, your path. It doesn't matter if we have the high calling of cleaning the floors. Or preaching from the pulpit. Because the true calling one of prayer. The true calling is the call of the intercessor. And no matter what you do, what function you serve, as an intercessor, as an intercessor, our impact is greater than we can imagine. Our impact ripples through the earth. Our impact brings stability to the nations.
a Joel's Army intercessor, penetrates through the earth's crust down into the tectonic plates and brings forth stability. A Joel's Army intercessor brings and provides protection from above. There is stability and strength brought to the earth when the intercessor is doing their job. There's no higher calling. I thank you, Lord, for calling forth your intercessors. I thank you, Lord, for bringing forth your intercessors in this hour, because we will be vessels of your Spirit to save the lost, to heal the land, and to bring forth true change as we wait upon your return. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen.